This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Karen Ansel and Mary Lou King, trustees. Petition 181-46308 for account 121-561010. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. No questions?
No questions.
No.
Close hearing.
This is the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present this morning are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. For the board is property owned by Andrea Dover, petition 18098501 for account 256774010. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Jerry Fisher, petition 181-44501 for account 15007-3000. No one is in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Sean and Alan Green. This is petition 18099201 for account 236103000. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Daniel and Kathleen Kaler, petition 181-44404 for account number 13003606. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Dan Kaler in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth, then a penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office and we're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. Okay. So I'm not sure if you recall, but basically we purchased our property in 2016 at $55,000. And I included the, actually, we purchased it in 2016, but we actually built starting in October of, would have been, I guess, 17. But prior to our construction loan, we had a certified appraiser, actually the bank required it. She did her own independent assessment of the property, or appraisal of the property, and that was by Christy Dent. I think it's on page 2 of your, of my appeal. So she found it to be still in line with our purchase price of the 2016 amount of $55,000. And at the very bottom, I think I've cited these properties in past cases, but when we were looking at buying a property, we looked at some of these, and for instance, there's the very first one I listed, and it was in Columbia Way, which is a Camas subdivision, or Columbia Ridgeway, and that was available at that point. Actually, it sold for $45,000. There's another one in Columbia Ridgeway that sold for $50,000. And then some other Washougals sold for about $60,000. So when I looked at the appraiser's or the assessor's evaluation, I decided to kind of land in the median. And I'm certain if you also have the spreadsheet, but I think I included my spreadsheet with my appeal. But I looked at, you know, kind of what the range of those comparable properties were. And in, you know, for the 2018 assessment for 2019 taxes, the one on 1872 Columbia Ridgeway was listed at the $63,250. And that's what I thought would be fair, kind of the middle, the median, basically. The other one in Columbia Ridgeway was assessed in 2018 as $47,950. So I think ours, rather than being at $113,250, I think we should be more in line with those comparable properties. And
Are these just properties now, or are they built on?
Well, they have since been built like ours. No, they were essentially sold the same time range as our property.
Do you have a view?
We do, yeah. Yep.
And all those have a view also?
They do. Well, though ours, we have like a, I think I had a picture of it last time. Mm-hmm. We have the utility tower in the back. So, I mean, it's not the best view, but we realized when we purchased it, we could probably get a reduction because of the view. I mean, to the left or, you know, to the east, we can see the hood, but to the right, you know, we got the utility tower.
Where are those properties from you?
How close are
they?
Okay. Well, the most of those two in Columbia Ridgeway, it's a Camas subdivisions. It's a Washougal mailing address, but it's, I think it's within Camas school district. So might be another reason why they should have been even higher than ours. But yeah, the other one on V Street, which is the one I'm including in one of my proposals. That's not too far from us. We're on Z, and that there's two I listed on V.
So are they higher up the hill, or?
The ones on V is lower than us. So it kind of goes alphabetical. So.
Okay.
And those figures you've got, they're the assessed value. They're the value the assessor put on it. They're not sales at that price.
Yeah, we're looking for current sales, so.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying.
Well, they sold in 15 and 16.
16, all these sold in 16.
We're looking at 1118. We're looking at a value as a 118.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying.
Gone up some.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that they have gone up. So basically, you know, like the, for instance,
this is
the one.
This is this house here.
The one that I was doing as a comparison, which was at the 1872. That sold in 17 for 55, and then in 18 the appraised value, the assessed value was 63. So I realize this.
Well, you said it sold in 17 for 55. It looks like it sold for 50. And what was the sale date on that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. The sale amount was 50.
And
I guess the assessed value was 55.
And what was the sale date? You don't have that on that sheet. Do you have it on there?
Let's see here.
Is it one on?
Yes, yeah, on like page two of the appeal.
UV.
Yep.
And he's way up there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Is that one that sold for 45? Or the one that sold for 50 in 2015?
Yeah, 311 of 15.
So that's almost 3 years now.
So yeah, the sale. Yep.
Yeah.
What's the one beside him valued at? That one. About on it for
419.
We'll go to the details and see what the value of the property is. Yeah, 145.
Yeah, 145.
Well,
versus
115. I'm looking at the 18 value. So they were 88.
Yeah, 88. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've really whacked it.
Yeah. So I guess my main concern with the appraisal is they really inflated land. I think I probably, in retrospect, should have deflated both the building value too, because this year, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But I mean, so they. They changed the building value roughly, you know, about 20,000. And I know we just built this past year, and I think if anything, they should have increased building value.
Is there another property on the other side of it?
It's got a big, strange lot on the other corner, on the other side.
That's one.
That one or the one
yeah,
right next?
That one, yeah. Take a look at that detail.
See, that was a bargain of sale deed.
It's 135.
80,
50. Same as yours.
See, that sold in 2009. That was a whole bunch of stuff up there, I think.
Yeah, he got a bargain. And that was kind of, you know, the downturn.
Yeah.
But I guess my main concern is the assessor really inflated property value, you know, as I look at it, steeper than what they really should have. Like I said, we got our appraised land value of 55 in 2017, and in the following year he's saying it increased to 113,000.
Were those properties on both sides of you, were they built when you built there, or are they? Were they developed after you built?
Well, they were built prior to our building. One of them just completed as we were starting our project. The one to the west, they purchased their property, I think, for $60,000 or thereabouts, and we purchased it for $55,000. Yeah, the one to the west. They purchased theirs about the same time as ours. Actually, we wanted to get that lot, but they already had purchased it. And I want to say that they paid $60,000 in 2016.
And they just finished. How about this other one over here? Was it built?
Yeah, that was the one that was actually purchased in 2009 at that $275,000 price.
That was already built, though.
Yeah, that's been already spent several years.
A foreclosure thing.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just think that the properties I cited, I mean, the appraiser or the assessor, you know, gave them a lower property value, and I think they shouldn't be the exception. I think if anything, all the properties that they're saying now are like $140,000 are too steep.
I think Lisa told you we can't do anything with assessed values. I mean, assessed values don't mean anything to us.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to go with sales of property, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
you probably saw this. But next year, if you're appealing, you want to be looking at sales as of, well, then it'll be January 1, 2019. So you can't use sales from 15 and 16. Because they'll be too old. And then there's this sheet on here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy way for you to put the details on your property and then list your comps.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for us and it's more comprehensive for you, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But in my case, there's very few properties that are available. So I had to list land value. The land value was like 16 vintage for...
Right, but you've got to look for sales. You may have to go outside your immediate neighborhood, look for ones with the same type of view that you have, and current sales.
Sure.
Another thing on that, too, that even though, you know, it's broken down as land and improvements, we need to look at the total combined value of all. So that, you know, it's pretty difficult to go back, like you're saying, there are no land sales.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to assign the land value, and that's what you're doing. How they assign it, we don't know, but you go look for sales. There aren't any vacant lots. Look at the total value they have.
On the home and the land.
I think, you know, what I was stipulating, the 578 for total value, like I kept the building where it was, I just decreased the land. Mm-hmm. But I think that 578 is fair, because I know this year, it's about 578. I mean, so I think they overshot. I think they overshot last year. I mean, certainly I don't think the 628 in 18 was correct, because now they're going back to a lower amount. And I know the market's increasing, so this doesn't make sense.
Well, just keep that in mind if you decide to appeal next year. Maybe you won't appeal.
Well, I already have, okay. And I should mention that I just got something yesterday or Friday as an email.
Yes, you got that, but you didn't get that.
So what they were saying in their response to my 2019 for 2020 taxes, they gave me some comparables. The one, which is on P Street, which is the same vicinity, with more square footage, basically it's got about 400 more square feet, and they're saying that value is, and it sold in 18, of 539. So, something's not right.
Is that the same view as you do?
It's on P Street?
Well, they're on P, they have a view, yeah.
Right down by the school and the playground.
They look over Washougal High school.
Well, that's not the same view as the river, though, in the mountain. I don't know if I had a
quite a neighborhood with the cemetery in the north.
They list their view as fair. They say our view is good. Theirs is fair. But like I said, they got roughly 4,000 square feet house.
Okay.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, super. Yep. Thank you.
Close it here.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Lakeview Par 3 Lakeview Enterprises, Inc. Heather and Douglas Green. This is petition 1812860 for account number 146700000. Petition 1812870 for account 146813000. And petition 1812850 for account number 146676000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Heather and Douglas Green in attendance and Mike Lamb. Will you all please raise your right hands to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So let me ask one question. Did you not stipulate to the one property?
I thought I included all three, but I didn't argue that.
Well, you appealed all three of them, but you stipulated on property number.
Oh, okay, that was
146676000. That's the small piece. Not the one that your house is on, but the
next door
to
it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we have signed stipulation in here.
And what was her final number on
here? You can look at mine. They lowered it to 944.
No. Lowered it to 58496. This is it right here.
Oh, the 58.
For the 1 acre adjacent to that.
Okay, yeah. I stipulated for that, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so eliminate that from the hearing.
Okay,
so that's the very first one, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
1466-76000 was stipulated at
$58,499. Right. Okay.
I put together, and I know you're not supposed to put stuff together, I put together a little agenda that I'd like to talk about. Can't take it, okay. All right.
You can read from it?
I can read from it. All right. Well, basically, we're saying I received all these assessments on September 30th of 18, and I appealed and what have you. Since then, I've had four assessments on the properties. I had the recently, as of Friday, I received a new assessment on the golf course. I have had two meetings with the assessor's office, actually three.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. The property values have gone up and down and up and down and up and down. They have at one point they suggested that I put 6.5 acres into conservation. On the 18th of this month, they asked me to put 4.25 acres into consolidate the 2 1-acre lots and make a 4.25 acre partial, and then create 6.7 acres of the golf course into prime developable land. I haven't agreed to anything at this point. It seems like they're spending, for 10 acres, 11 acres of property, they're spending way too much time with me over this issue. We have three meetings, the numbers keep changing all the time. They're adamant about developing this land. They're about closing the golf course and developing the land, similar to property which is up on the corner, where they were able to take 7.5 acres and put 37 houses on it. Their feeling is that you've got 8.95 acres of golf course, we want to convert it into prime developable land. They change the, I guess I'll have to use my notes here, which I was going to give you. They changed the designation in 2018 to from, here's, you've got Katie's report anyway. She said all three parcels were historically valued as commercial property until the 2018 assessments. Then they changed it to from current use to highest and best use, and that's how they're taxing the property. We were given no notification other than we got our notification on the 30th of September 2018. Boom. The taxes went from roughly $330,000 up to $1.4 million. They have since dropped down. You don't even have this assessment. They've dropped down to about $1 million.
Let me I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but you said it was zoned as commercial up until this last year, and then they changed it to prime developable?
Yes. This is their report.
Could you go to the property information? I'm not sure we got.
Oops, wrong one. Sorry.
This is their report.
Prime developable.
Okay. Residential R16. Okay.
Single
family. Okay, go ahead.
So,
sorry.
I mean, this is their.
No, we have their report. We have their report.
Okay. So, now, on top of that, this property has been in open space. It's been in open space since 2008. And according to the regulations, or the agreement that we've signed, and this is a copy of the Clark County, and it actually picks up what the state code says, and it says, property owners may apply to have their land classified as open space land. Property owners that apply and are accepted into the Open Space Taxation and Act program have their lands valued at current space rather than at their highest and best use for property tax purposes. The designation often results in lower assessed value and lower taxes. Now, that itself is a legislation. Now, they're changing it, and according to the assessor, he says, we're taxing your property now at the highest and best use. We're making it prime developable land. It doesn't seem like this would be even legal to me that they could do this. They're forcing me to make a decision. I have checked to find out what it would cost me to pull it out of open space. As of Friday, it's $74,400. That's at the $330,000 valuation on the golf course. When it jumps to $1 million or $1.5 million, whatever that number is going to end up being, it's going to be a significant increase in taxes. And at some point, if I decide I want to keep it as a golf course for 5 more years and what have you, who's going to want to step up and develop that land? It kind of defeats the purpose of wanting to develop land that previously was in open space. So my argument is this law a law, or is it something they can change just like they changed it from commercial to a prime developable land? I didn't see that land use code there change. And, you know, that's pretty much my argument today, because to argue that the land isn't worth $1 million or $1.5 million, plus or minus 10 or 20%, probably is worth that. But it was put in open space to provide a reasonable price golf course property, for recreational property for the residents of Clark County. My previous appeal here. We've got about 15,000 rounds of golf that are played on that course at $10 a round, which is very, very inexpensive versus a trying to longer Wild Oaks or Green Meadows or what have you. So if in fact the laws are going to change this way just by somebody saying we're going to call your property prime developable instead of commercial, we're going to ignore the open space agreement and tax your land at highest and best use rather than current use. If that can happen, then I need some relief to figure out what to do. I can't just tomorrow decide I'm going to sell the land to somebody and somebody's got to develop it. You know, that takes place to go through the planning process. So that's pretty much, you know, my argument for today regarding the golf course. The second part of my argument would be on on our land itself that our house is on. The land that our house was on was valued at $122,000 per acre. the golf course, what do you use the golf course numbers, because that was 8.95 acres. But the one lot next to our house was $58,000.
Yeah, that's okay. The one you stipulated.
Or $75,000, whatever the number is.
Right.
And now, as of the other day, Friday, it's $134,000. Our land is at $220,000.
It's the same acre. That's the 19 valuation.
No,
January 1st, 19.
Okay, it's the newest one, yeah.
Okay.
But this property next door is at $103,000 for its 3 acres. I'm 1 acre, and I'm at 220. It was 248. She dropped it down to 220. This was 78. They dropped it to 58, and then Friday they raised it to 134. And there's an inconsistency here in itself, because these are contiguous lands. All three of them are contiguous. And to have, and then I went through all the valuations.
But that's not owned by you, correct?
No, it's not owned by you.
Okay.
And none of these are. But all their acreage per acre rates are considerably lower. And why we're getting nailed on our house, I don't understand. Now, when I brought this up to Peter's attention, this was at 58, he said, oh, that shouldn't be. Boom, they changed it and raised it to 134, just like that. And that's in Friday's mail. Oh, I'd like to see this house drop back down to 122 or 117 or some other number that makes a lot of sense. Now, I do have a recommendation in that folder you have. I think it says 116,000. So I think I'm very concerned about the golf course and how they can just change the designation from current use to highest and best use, change it from commercial property to prime developable land, just through the stroke of a pen. I'm concerned about it being penalized, my house is being penalized, the land that's under my house, when all the property around it is worth considerably, is valued considerably less. And those are the only 2 points I can bring up today.
Well, let's talk about the open space agreement that you signed back in 2008. It says it protects streams or water supply, and I don't know what that means in terms of that particular property. Are there streams and are there springs on that property?
No, it goes right up to the lake. This is Vancouver Lake.
Right, no, I understand that, but is there water supply on that? Is there water coming off of that property?
Coming off the property, no. Now, in addition to that, the floodplain goes all the way up to all this property here. And this is the flood fringe line. They have decided that you can build in the flood fringe as long as you're 1 foot above the elevation of whatever the floodplain line is. So that's how they've added more acreage to it. Originally, they agreed to the 4 acres of development. Then they came back and said, oh, wait a minute, we just found out that we can develop on the flood fringe, making sure we're held 1 foot elevation above the flood line. So now they're including all this property as buildable.
So how much is that total?
Well, it's
5 acres.
6.7 acres.
That would have been nice if the assessor's office would have sent a representative today. That would have been very helpful.
They were aware of it. I told them I'm planning to have a meeting. I'm planning to argue this point. I don't.
The 7 acres or whatever, as you said, was sold, and they put how many houses in here? Is this the property you're talking about?
Yes. The big piece, I think.
This one?
Yeah.
How many properties are in there?
37.
And that was one big chunk that was sold?
Yes, it was.
And then it was subdivided.
Ten and a half acres.
There are actually three parcels in that, plus Lake, plus
Mike is a real estate agent. So
Titleheads. Plus Titleheads.
So there's four parcels?
Yes.
Okay. What about the one next door to it? Do you know anything about that one? That one was developed too?
That was developed, yes.
Some time ago or more recently?
No, some time, I'm going to say 10 years ago. I could be a little off on that, maybe.
Between it's been, five it's been a while years. Ago.
Yeah, between five
and I'm assuming the property back here with the flood fringe on it is...
That's,
floodplain is
that's
not...
That's floodplain. I'm
yeah, it's thinking. Not... It's not... Doesn't have houses on it, or it does?
No, it does not.
So it's just these parcels
he said,
up here?
He said... I talked to Joel Scott on that big piece of property. He said they'd take 3 acres out because it was in the floodplain, so...
And they're saying now that you can build on this part, which is what it says 5 acres.
Well, see what's
500 year.
You got the 500 year floodplain, and that would take you up to this very corner here.
Right.
Of the property. I'm not arguing that point. The floodplain goes through here like this, and the flood fringe. From an aerial map from the county, takes it to here. They're saying now in current law, and I couldn't do it years ago when I bought this property in 1990 because I talked to somebody, you could not build in the flood fringe. Now they're saying you can build in a flood fringe as long as you keep it 1 foot above.
I thought you had to have a 100-foot setback on the floodplain.
This is puzzling to me because that flood fringe is habitat. So for the county, for the assessor's office to say it's buildable, yeah. I don't believe that for a second. Let them go get a permit for that.
This is in your book, so it's not.
Well, say if you can point to it up there, then we can all see
here.
It. Here's the.
You push the button on the side.
Can you pull up the habitat map? It'll show.
Okay.
This is an aerial map that I've done.
It's in this package.
It's in your book. Yeah. It's after one of the. There's three pages in here that deal with all the floodplain, the flood fringe, the riparian.
Mm-hmm. She's just gonna pull it up on the screen.
So if, yeah, click the riparian habitat button.
Riparian.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still moving. Alright. It's taking its time.
There you go.
Now, so it's this piece right here. Right.
Okay, that's the flood plain, those lines.
So the there are other options under flood fringe. Flood plain.
See, back in 2007, this page that you have in your book also says that I couldn't do anything in this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're saying I can do something in that area. Not that I want to, but...
We're seeing that a lot. We're seeing literally swamps, but they've made prime developable land.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. And the ability to do something, I mean, on the development side...
Literally, we've seen, seen that quite a few times.
Are
you using landfill? You know, it's literally property that has standing water on it, and they've changed the designation to prime developable land.
Oh, the designation.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to be here, and I don't want to be here because I filed another petition because they sent me on 5/30 of this year, they sent me a new to raise the price to $1.4 million, something like that. So I got another hearing coming. And I'll have another hearing coming on the new one. I don't want to, this is not my life. I could sit down and say, okay, if you want to force me to do something, which you're doing as a governmental agency, so they call it, then let me have a little control over you know, how you're going to impact where we live right now. We do have a beautiful location. We have a beautiful home. And we enjoy the golfers. They surround our property and want to have you. They're very nice people and want to have you. But I don't want to have a bunch of houses next to each other, closest to this room, you know, backing right up to our property. I just don't think it's right. Now, it's R6. I understand that. That happened because the county was required by Olympia to do something to find developable land. And they just, one night, I found out about it, after a month after I bought the property, they just took this farmland and made it R6 overnight because it was kind of out of the way. Nobody was going to protest it. They didn't, because everybody just kept running their little farms. Reuben Hatch had a rhododendron, experimental rhododendron gardens in there. There were peach trees. Cherry trees, there were apple trees. This was an orchard. And it went from agriculture to R6 overnight just to keep Olympia happy to find, you know, developable space in Clark County. That's not my point. The point is that this property has changed its designation now to try and develop the land from farmland just because it's close in, and obviously it would generate probably the same kind of housing that is up on that corner, 30, 35 houses. And we just don't want to give up our lifestyle that much that fast, that's all. And I'm negotiable on this. I'm 80 years old, figuring out about it. I don't need to be sitting here arguing about my land.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too, because whatever we do today, it might affect your value. Say we lowered it, it might affect your value for this year, but the county doesn't recognize it. The successor doesn't recognize that value going forward, so you'd be forced to come back year after year.
So I'd rather be sitting here with Peter in the office and say, can we chop the land up this way?
Well, whatever they do, they won't. Right, that we won't continue on to the next year, unfortunately.
Let me sort of go back to the beginning, and I know you don't want to go rehash this 100 times, but the agreement that you entered into for the open space agreement, that was entered into by you, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And it says in here, withdrawal, you may withdraw it after 8 years, and you can withdraw it, but you have to wait 2 years after that to request the assessor to withdraw the classification from land. Is that correct?
I don't remember that extra 2 years, but when I do withdraw, I have to pay all the back taxes,
right.
20% penalty.
The difference between the assessed value and the...
Yeah, but the assessed value, the value of 330 taxes is a nice number, assessed value of 1.4. I mean, that gives me pause to think I need to be... You're forcing... the county's forcing me into doing something immediately. Because that number is not going to be $74,400. I pull it out of open space, as
right.
It will be.
No, we.
It's going to be this.
We fully understand that.
Yeah. And
I've not calculated the number, but understand that that's going to be a big number.
I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be bigger, much bigger number.
Yes, no question about that. And was there anything that you had to do in order to keep this land in open space?
No, because originally, oddly enough, that's not the way the petition read. And if you read the petition, it has all three properties in there. And that was a mistake that they made when they typed it up. Our house is in there. And yet we've been taxed on the house as a separate piece of property at the high value. But it was supposed to be a golf course, and it was supposed to be protecting the lake. And there are two ponds on the property. I don't know. They're not ponds that are flowing streams. Water's going through them or anything like that.
How does the pond replenish itself?
Actually, through wells, the well system. All the watering for the golf course, all the excess watering goes into the ponds itself. In other words, there's a sprinkler system throughout the golf course. And when you turn it on, there's what they call a blow-off valve. It doesn't disperse all the water that comes out of the well, and so the excess goes through a blow off and it fills the ponds.
So they're filled artificially from a well, then?
Yes.
And there's no runoff into the lake at all from that?
No.
They just sand there? I mean, they don't get stagnant?
It says they're actually, the ponds are made out of asphalt.
But they don't get stagnant, though? You have enough fresh water coming into them?
Yeah, we're fishing.
So the land that they developed down there for the subdivisions, where the new housing is, how much fill or whatever did they have to do in there, or if any, in order to make that land usable? Or is it not as low?
I can't tell you that. I think they were on kind of a ridge.
They were a little higher.
It was almost up next to the railroad tracks, so it gives you an idea about the topography there.
So I noticed in one of the maps, and I don't remember which one it was, that there was a 1949, the flood got up, pretty much covered all of that property.
Yes, it did. I know one of the neighbors, they're gone, they passed, but they said that the water was right up to the corner of 25th Avenue and 69th Street.
And it hasn't gotten up that?
No. The 97, 96, 97 floods are...
They came up to the back of your house, it looks like.
Yeah, and it went up toward the golf course. It did actually follow that line that you had up on the board there. So it went up along the southerly boundary line, and it covered probably a third of the trailer court, which is adjacent to the golf course.
Yeah, I saw those pictures in there. So it did cover part of the trailer park?
Yes. In fact, we... Son and I were in a motorboat. We drove over to the golf course, to the trailer court, to pick up some of the floating tee boxes. They actually floated out that way. I mean, we haven't seen anything since then.
But did it go up past the floodway fringe?
The fringe? No, it didn't. Well, it really. Followed this line right here.
Followed that line.
Yeah. If our house wasn't high on a ridge, it would have.
So that is the floodway fringe. That is the floodway fringe line, right?
That's the floodway fringe line. Is here.
Okay.
That's developed. That was an aerial map by Clark County. But the actual floodplain line is this squiggly line.
Right. It's down lower than that. And do you know what the restrictions are on the? Whatever they call the other part, the 500-year floodplain?
No, I don't.
Do you know what they are?
If you built there, you may have to have flood insurance. So, depending upon the elevation, if you raise the houses up, it would be above the floodway fringe. You could definitely build on it. But
I'm talking about the 500-year floodplain.
Yeah, but the 500-year floodplains aren't typically restricted.
They're not restricted at all.
Right.
Well, I noticed some of the others have both. They have the floodplain and some of the 500-year on it. And I'm assuming there's no... nothing has been built in those properties based on what this looks like. If they built on the properties that were above any of that floodplain. The trailer park appears to be partially in that 500-year floodplain and partially in the actually fringe.
Lisa was saying if they're using swamp lands today, then I don't have much of an argument here. Dealing with the 500 year plus possibly the flood fringe, I don't want to give up like that. But I'm just trying to come to some kind of a compromise with the county.
So, have you actually talked to Peter about this, about them changing it?
Yeah.
And what was his? Did he just say, "Well, we can do that"?
Well, I didn't talk to him about the latest one. Now, the last one I had from him is that he said
thought that it would be a good idea if I put 6 acres into conservation. And then they said we wouldn't tax you. And then the rest of it would have been the 4 acres. That was the plan that was here.
And then it's kind of like a light went on. Wait a minute. We could build in the flood fringe. And so I checked with the community development, and the government says, yes, they could, but they shouldn't. But they could apply, and if they were 1 foot above the floodplain line, then they could divide it back. You could develop that, so I don't want to. So if those are the new rules, then I want to go back to the taxation idea on the current use versus highest and best use. I asked for, if you have in your brochure there, I asked for a moratorium in 1 year. Give me some time to think this thing over, figure out what to do, talk to some developers and what have you. And they said, absolutely not. We'd be giving you preferential treatment. So that's not a good idea. It's a good idea, but it's not going to be.
You got no notification, prior notifications of any changes in the status of your property prior to the assessment coming up?
No. And her letter kind of says that, because the letter came in 2018, and she's already changed from commercial to highest and best use, is what Peter said, prime development.
Well, at least you got a letter. I think a lot of people.
It wasn't a letter.
It was a notice.
The letter came as part of her response
to the appeal.
Okay.
And so what came in the paper or in the mail was from 3:30 to 1:05. Boom. That was it. These are the new numbers. And then I talked to them. I talked to them 2 or 3 times to get to where we're at today. And now, what I got the other day, which I can't show you, is they dropped it down to $1 million for the golf course. And they raised the 1 acre.
Well, you say you can't show us, why can't you?
I think that we saw it on the screen. The property.
This is the one with the house.
1 acre. Yeah, so it's the other one.
If you can get to the...
Is this what you're talking about right here? Is it dropped it down to 944?
No, that one.
It's a valuation for 2019, I think.
Yeah.
$1,000,014.
For which?
Okay.
$1,014,000. So they dropped it from $1,000,000.
So it went to $1,000,003, then it went to $1,000,004, then it's dropped to $1,000,000 even, roughly.
But they offered you for that $1,000,379. They offered you $944.
Yeah.
Isn't this for the next year's value? This is for 19. The $1,014,000 is
the $1,004,004 is 18, right there. The $1,000,379 is 18, mm-hmm. And they have offered to drop that to 944.
Oh, that's if I put the other acreage into conservation.
But if you do that, can you not have a golf course anymore? Or?
No, the golf course is totally out of the picture. The golf, to have open space, I have to have 10 acres. And so the golf course goes. And I've talked to my son about it, who runs it. He's run it for 30 years. He's saying, you know, if we have to give it up, we have to give it up. I just don't want to fight. I'm tired of this.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's what you'll have to do. I mean, it's unfortunate.
I don't see
you don't have that in there because this came afterwards.
This is dated July 29th of 19, and they offered to do this, and I don't see any qualifications on that. There's no qualifications on that 944.
I don't see any restriction of anything.
This is just a stipulation saying that they've agreed to 944, and there's no restrictions on that.
means we can still have the golf course.
Yeah, there's no mention even of the golf course at all.
Well, that's the 8.95 acres.
Right, and that's 67000. Yeah, in their attachment to that, it says they've reduced by these adjustments. They've reduced it by 428,000, which I presume is the difference between 1,379,000 and 944. I don't know for sure, but.
But even at the 900 versus the million, it's a small amount, but it's going to force me to pull out of the open space, right? But it still doesn't go back to the point that it's supposed to be taxed at current use versus highest and best use, which is what they're avoiding is the open space agreement. If that's okay, I don't want to pay the penalties or the back taxes.
Say again?
It went from 314 approximately to
944, yeah.
Yeah, 1 year.
So at this point, though, it is not in any special use classification, the land? I mean, it looks like the original agreement was in 2008 for 8 years, and then you have 2 years after it comes out, so that would have been 10 years, that would be 2018. So as of 2019, it is not classified under any special thing. Is that the understanding on it, or did you have to reclassify it to?
I didn't think there was a sunset clause on the open space.
According to this agreement
said something about it. The agreement was in 2008, so yeah. You should have had to notify them. I would think to take it out. I think you're.
No, I have to notify. Them
I think
to take
the
it out.
Here's the thing that you had to notify them. But so is it still in the classification as far as you're concerned?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's my thinking on it too. So.
Well, it says that after a period of 8 years, he or she files to request to withdraw classification with the assessor 2 years from the date of that request. The assessor shall withdraw classification from the land, and the applicable taxes and interest shall be imposed, which that 2 years would have given you some time to do something at the lower value, right? That's why.
But he has to request it. It comes
right
out of that classification. So if you haven't requested it, then it should still be there.
Right. But I wouldn't get a get-out-of-jail-free card during that two-year window, would I?
Yeah, I'm not real sure on all of that, but I mean, I'm trying to figure out in my own mind all of the classifications jumping back and forth, ups, downs, and I'm seeing very limited evidence of any real comparable properties for a market value estimate that is supposed to be the basis of. I mean, I'm not seeing that in either the information you presented or in the information the assessor really presented. So, I don't know.
Well, recapping, getting back to my
my argument is that I don't think it should come out of open space just because they want it to come out of open space.
Right.
I don't think they should be able to tax it at the highest and best use versus current use as provided for in the agreement. That's the first part of my argument. The second part of my argument is that I think that they're overtaxing the land that our house sits on. I don't care about the value of the improvement. But there's no reason for that 1 acre to be now reduced down to $220,000 when it was $122,000, when all the surrounding acres are about $100,000 to $103,000. And that's all I can say today, because lots of things have changed in all the conversations back and forth with the assessor's office relative to put it into conservation or, you know, consolidate lot one and lot two and give you 4.25 acres of a new piece of property which is on the lake, and then 6.7 acres you want to develop it. They're wanting me to develop land that I don't want to develop.
Right.
And the point is, if that's the way the new rules are, I can live with them, but I need some breathing room. That's all I'm asking for. And I don't want to pay the penalties because they want me to develop the land. I don't want to pay a $75,000 penalty to develop my land because they've decided to negate the open space agreement. And if they can negate the open space agreement, there's going to be a lot of people in town that are not going to be too happy about this down the road. You just can't come in there and say, well, we just changed the rules. Oh, by the way, you owe us 75 grand. And we're going to tax you way up here now. So next year, you're going to owe us 150 grand. And the year after that, 200 grand. And after that, and after that. I mean, people try to do estate planning and what have you, and what they want to do with their land, whether it's farmland or whether it's residential land. This is just unfair. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And even if you, you know, value what I'm saying today and you do something, you're just saying I'm going to be back here next year.
You will be.
I don't want to be back here next year. So I want to negotiate something that makes sense, that I don't have to, you know, get out my checkbook and write a check for something I don't believe I am responsible for.
All right.
Well, those two issues alone is the open space agreement.
I understand.
It's
yeah.
My land.
After I read this six times last night, I came to that conclusion that the first step is the open space issue, and then the second step is what's the valuation if you eliminate the open space, and I don't know, their valuation is not any better than yours.
Obviously, I've done a lot of work putting all this together.
Right, I understand.
Support what I'm saying is, but if the rules have changed, then I need to get a benefit, not necessarily a benefit. I don't need to be penalized. Maybe that's a better word. I'm getting penalized because the county can change the rules. The assessor's office can change the rules. You know, that's where I feel like we're being pulled for a lot.
Okay, I think I understand enough to work on this and come up to some resolution from our standpoint as to what we can do, what we're permitted to do, and what we can't do, and we'll put that together.
No, I appreciate
you'll get a letter
that.
From that.
And I understand your opening comment was, no matter what happens here today, I might be here next
yeah.
year.
I hear you. I can't do anything about that.
We hear that all the time too.
But it's nice to see you. Different circumstances. Thank you very much for.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have three late file requests today. The first one is a good cause request for Mark and Helen Tochin, trustees, tax parcel 9223-2554. And they are requesting to file a late petition because of their absence from their home for 23 days during the 60-day period of time following the 2020 notice of value, which relates to 2019. Thank you for your consideration on this late filing good cause request.
That's over 15 days.
Yep.
Okay. Next is Lewis and Betty Schnell. The 2020 appraisal, 2019, arrived earlier this year when I was busy carrying, raking, baling hay on the land and not thinking about the early appeal date. I was also reviewing the information that I used for the appraisal appeals for 16, 17, and 18 before preparing my May 19 appeal. During the hearing, I remembered that I had not prepared a 2020 appeal. Melanie gave me this form.
I think that qualifies, does it?
Not really. Just because he wasn't paying attention to his mail. Sorry, Lewis. And lastly, it's a request for reconvene for ATB Properties, LLC. This is for, oh, that's right, Shane Tappany. And I thought we already, done this one. So their reason is that they did not get the notice of values for parcels 22736600, 22737500, 22736200, 22737700, 22738300, 22743900, 22744200, 22744300, 22744400, 22744500, and lastly 22746000.
They didn't get their notice of value?
They didn't get their notice of value.
Okay.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board is property owned by Brendan and Dory Miller. Petition 181-44601 for account number 19553400. No one is in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Patricio and Maria Rosales. Petition 181-46507 for account number 986037984. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions? Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by David Sale. This is petition 181-46407 for account 18988900. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have David Sale in attendance by teleconference. David, would you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Yes, I will.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I absolutely do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I have no questions. Do you want my testimony now?
Yep.
I'm developing that piece of property. I'm taking the front 2 acres, and I've subdivided into 6 separate lots. And it's been a very difficult situation. It's taken me 3 years to get approval. And it's also taken extended amounts of time to get additional approvals because the county does not have a sewer line that runs down 99th Street. So in order to develop it, we need to pressure feed the waste over to 50th Street, and that cost there has now grown to $30,000 just for the approval through engineering, and the approval department has, or the wastewater treatment department has made us go back and forth to eventually, or to finally give me approval to go where we had originally planned. Excuse my voice, by the way. And what's happened is we've had to run two sewer lines, a pressure-fed one over to 50th and a gravity-fed one to 99th Street, which will never go to a sewer line because the county has zero plans to put a sewer down 99th Street. That is only a future development issue. So on top of that, I'm paying large amounts of taxes, which just got increased 55% over the last time we had this discussion. And I think it's a little bit erratic. I think it's unfair for the simple reason I'm adding six more tax lots to Clark County, and I'm paying out the ears for what I have now. So I would ask for mercy on behalf of the Board of Equalization to reduce those taxes.
Can you go back to the property information sheet again? Did you?
And in the meantime, I can't even do work to my own house until the development's done, which is in disarray and has been for 3 years because I'm putting all my money into this development. So I think a 55% increase is pretty high, and I'd appreciate it being lowered. They are already paid. I paid them last week. So my final taxes for 2019 are complete.
Did you see what they did to your value for next year? They dropped it back down.
No, I haven't.
They dropped it back.
No, I haven't.
They dropped it back down to $519,000 for your 2000, your market value as of January 1, 2019.
But for which portion of the property?
For the 3.3 acres.
So why is it 700 and something thousand this year, and now it's down to 500 and something?
Yeah. I don't have the answer for that. That's the assessor's office, but I just thought it would
right.
be good for you to know.
Well, and I think the 519 would be acceptable.
Yeah.
Is there,
but now I just dumped, you know, I've got $500,000 now into those 6 acres that are in front. And the subdivision cost of that. So I'm adding another $42,000 in tax revenue once those lots are starting to be built and the permits are bought in 2 months.
Yeah.
So that's another stickler.
So you haven't...
Not yet.
You have not set up the separate lots yet, right?
The development is actually done. The only thing we're waiting on now is to run the sewer line to 50th because we just got approval last week from Clark County Regional Wastewater, and we're waiting on the electrical to be put in.
No, but have you set up separate tax lots?
No, I can't do that until that's done. And then once that's done, my title company already has the paperwork in line for the subdivision.
Okay, so your total...
So all 6 lots will have tax codes within the next couple months.
So your total acreage of everything is 3.03 acres, right?
Correct, and I'm keeping an acre in the back with the 2 lots that are in back that I'll be living on. So 2-point-something acres in the front, and 1 acre in the back will be the personal one of my own, which that one right there would be fine at $500,000. I don't see a problem with that. But the six lots in the front that I dumped all this money in, and it's all been cash. It hasn't been financed or anything. Almost $500,000.
Go to the map.
So, like I said, we're adding 6 additional lots. Next year, you'll have 6 more lots that you can raise taxes out of. There's a builder already lined up to build the homes. I mean, it's all cut and dry. I just thought a 55% increase in 1 year was ridiculous. But again, that's only my opinion, out of all respect for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have any more questions.
I got it.
I don't have any questions on it.
Okay. We got it.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Nope.
That's it.
I'm done.
Hey, thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 30th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Laura Smith. This is petition number 181-44201 for account number 10552202. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.